Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by you. Thanks to all of you. That every piece of you from head to toe. Maybe you're Carmine Bailey. Maybe you're Vince Power. Maybe you're Rodrigo Smith Zapata. Or maybe you're Alo Adam L. Thank you for supporting the show. On this episode of DTNS, Bose's stylish new earbuds, OpenAI closes up with text to video, and Patrick Norton helps you understand passkeys. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, February 16th, 2024. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Animal House, I'm Sarah Lane.
Somewhere in the county, I'm Patrick Norton.
Drawing the top tech stories in Cleveland, I'm Len Peralta.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
I almost said 2023 for the first time. Like, I had to catch myself. It was written right and everything. I just, you know, it was one of those.
I mean, it's okay. Only February.
Yeah.
It's you got another
sometimes
month.
These things happen.
Yeah, it took till February for that to happen. Also, you're in the county? You're not in the city of St. Louis? Patrick?
I'm at a secret location.
Wow.
It is not my home.
Fancy out in the county.
It is not on a private road, Tom. It is not that fancy.
Part of the county. Got it. Still.
People in St. Louis are laughing really hard right now, and everybody else is going,
What high school did you go to? Epic has received its Apple developer account in the EU and will begin working on making an Epic game store for iOS there. They say they should have it done by the end of the year. And now, the rest of the quick hits.
On Wednesday's show, Scott Johnson shared his thoughts on the future of Xbox ahead of Microsoft's official announcement. Thursday, right before DTNS recorded, Microsoft did announce 4 Xbox-exclusive games will come to non-Xbox platforms. Head of Xbox Phil Spencer ruled out Starfield and Indiana Jones, however, and said all 4 titles are more than a year old. Spencer also said Microsoft is still working on a next console, including different kinds of hardware, which goes along with hints that Spencer has been dropping about the possibility of a handheld. And Microsoft also announced Game Pass now has 34 million subscribers. That's up 36% since the last time it released numbers 2 years ago.
When Jake Moffat booked a flight from Vancouver to Toronto in 2022 to go to his grandmother's funeral, he asked Air Canada's chatbot if there were bereavement fares, discounts for people flying to funerals. The chatbot said yes, indeed, Air Canada offered reduced bereavement fares, and he could even get a refund if he had already booked a flight with a full fare, as long as he told Air Canada about it within 90 days of his travel. And then it linked to the bereavement policy. Now, Moffat didn't click that link, which led to a page that would have told him that Air Canada did not offer bereavement fares for completed travel. Moffat, however, said, hey, the chatbot told me it did, took a screenshot, sent it to Air Canada. Air Canada wouldn't give him the money, so he sued for deception. And Air Canada tried to argue that the chatbot was, and I quote, a separate legal entity that is responsible for its own actions. Can't blame him for trying. The Civil Resolution Tribunal of Canada did not buy that argument, said, no, it's your chatbot. It's on your website. You're responsible for it. And ordered Air Canada to pay Moffat $812, which was the difference between what he paid and the reduced bereavement fare. Thanks to Reed Fischler for tipping me off to this story.
Search lab users in the U.S. can try something called Talk to a Live Representative in the Google app for iOS and Android and desktop Chrome. So when you search for a customer service number, you might see Request for Call as a button that you could click. If you click it, Google will ask a few questions about what you're calling about, what's your number, then it will call the customer support line for you, navigate some phone trees, then text you as it makes progress, and when you're off hold, it will call you so that you can talk to that live representative. Supported businesses include airlines, phone companies, retail, insurance, and various services like shipping companies, waste management, Zelle, and Instacart.
That's cool. I like that. That's like a step up from the, like, we'll call you back, get in your place in line, because you don't even have to call and get in line. The U.S. FBI reports it has taken down a botnet that had infected Ubiquiti's Edge OS routers with the Moobot malware used for spear phishing and credential stuffing attacks. The small office and home office users of the routers were not the targets, so it didn't compromise their information. It just used their routers to launch attacks on government, military, and security organizations. With court approval, FBI agents remotely accessed the infected routers and used Moobot to delete stolen and malicious data, and then deleted Moobot and blocked remote access. The actions did not disrupt the router's legitimate functionality or access user data. This is, of course, part of the cat and mouse game between criminals and law enforcement. You take one botnet down, another one's going to pop up somewhere, right? In an attempt to break that cycle, Google announced an AI cyber defense initiative ahead of the Munich Security Conference starting now, Friday.
Bloomberg sources say that Apple has ramped up development of an AI-powered code completion tool that's similar to Microsoft's GitHub Copilot, expanding internal testing of a new generative AI feature set for its Xcode programming software. Apple reportedly plans to release them to third-party developers this year. And similarly to Microsoft's GitHub Copilot, the programming tool Apple is working on applies a large language model to predict and then complete strings of code and potentially even write code to test apps.
Ooh, the drumbeat continues of Apple's AI plans. Well, Bose is selling some new earbuds that you might have seen in a headline or two or a picture here and there. They're turning heads because they sit outside of the ear canal instead of trying to be in your ear like most earbuds. That means they don't have noise canceling, something people always think of with Bose. But some people want always to be able to hear their surroundings, but also hear their music at a reasonable volume. If you just set your AirPods outside your ear, the volume's not going to be good enough. So these are designed to be able to let you hear the world around you, but also have volume so that you can understand what your audio is saying to you. The Bose Ultra Open Earbuds do that. They're also lightweight, so they're better for somebody who needs to wear earbuds for a long time. You can wear them for 4, 5, 6 hours. Bose products, however, can be divisive, and I've noticed these being praised by some of the usual skeptics out there. Patrick, Bose took its open audio framework from its ill-fated Bose frames and put it in the earbuds and then tried to make them look kind of like jewelry. How does this form factor work for you?
Okay, so I have not had a chance to try them myself, but folks who have say they're actually really comfortable once you figure out how to strap them to your ears, because they kind of clip on like giant earrings. Like most open earbuds, there's not a lot of bass, so if you need bass in your life, open earbuds are probably not a thing for you. The design on these is particularly novel, especially compared to the other offerings out there. The idea of open earbuds is not really new, just maybe more new to Bose. You know, open earbuds are a thing, especially for runners, outdoorsy folks. Sony, Shox, JLab, Clear, Soundcore, One More, and many, many others are all in this space. These are getting a lot of attention because they're a Bose product. Therefore, they must be super and amazing, or they are horrendous trash. And as Tom pointed out earlier, there's a lot of people who just immediately hear Bose and have a reaction one way or the other.
Well, so the audio that auto-adjusts, I know, is something that Bose is touting here. So if you're in, I don't know, a place that's really loud, but, you know, a lively coffee shop, for example, versus a library, it's supposed to adjust the audio accordingly. I mean, my AirPods do that with adaptive, you know, sound to a point, right? Yeah. You know, I have some options here, but are these supposed to work better?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because one of the things Bose is touting, another thing Bose is touting, I should say, is like the immersive audio. And people are like, it's a little bigger. Personally, I'd rather have pure audio. It's, you know, the audio is definitely going to adjust, but they're not going to be loud enough to deal with a really cranky commuter bus. You know, I can think of a particular bus that I used to take in and out of Oakland or super loud city streets. Mostly, I think these are for people who want to, you know, hear a car before they get run over or the baby fussing in the next room and find, you know, there's a lot of earbuds that will allow you to hear things from outside. But, you know, a lot of that sort of like hear the outside world setting on your earbuds takes it from a microphone, amplifies it in a weird way, and then stuffs it in on top of your music in a way that I personally find awful and distracting and not a very good listen to the outside. So I think that's why open earbuds are so popular with so many people, because it's a more natural layering of audio. If you can call having little ears strapped or little speakers strapped to your ears sounding natural, but honestly, it can be really cool if you're into it.
Yeah. And obviously these things aren't going to have the bass that you would have with in-ear earbuds. I mentioned, no noise canceling. Also, they don't give you a wireless charging case. You have to buy that separately, but they are more stable and more comfortable for long-term wear. So Patrick, are they worth the $299 price?
To me, not so much. To open ear folks who are looking for the bestest in comfort, maybe. That's one of the things that pretty much all the reviews have called out, that these are much more comfortable than they expected. You know, $299 is a lot of money for, you know, for most people for earbuds or for open earbuds. You know, there are a lot of options out there. You know, people who are Bose enthusiasts, people who really like the comfort factor, they're going to be all over these. Otherwise, I think they sound very expensive for what they are compared
to
the
average. I think the comfort part of this is the real selling point. I have, you know, I'm wearing over the ear headphones for our show because that's just what feels comfortable for me doing the show. When I'm out and about, I sometimes use my noise canceling option on my AirPods, but often, especially if I'm walking around, you know, in traffic, especially at night, I want to hear the world around me. So pass through is really important. But I still, you know, if somebody were to come up to me and ask a question, I still instinctively pull one of them out of my ear because I'm trying to hear as best as possible. This feels like maybe it's a natural middle ground.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think pulling the earbud out is a sign of respect. Like, just because I can hear you, it's just, you know, when somebody's talking to me with their ear, you know, their headphones on or their earbuds in, I mean, you know, one, I'm going to say something that's going to make certain people in the audience laugh really hard. You know, my oldest son has finally figured out, he doesn't have to talk real loud just because he's wearing headphones. And then sort of the next step was him realizing also that if you pull the headphone off and look at someone, they understand that you're paying attention to them. And I think that's just a sign of respect. You know,
I don't pull my earring out. These are like earrings, right?
Keep telling yourself.
Your earring isn't in your, you know, ear canal.
Good point. Your earring isn't singing.
This isn't
down.
I don't know, maybe ear canal it either. It's just hanging outside of it. Yeah.
Well, that's the point I'm making about the in-ear earbuds. Even if you can hear the world around you pretty well, I think, you know, a lot of us still kind of go like, nah, let me hear even better.
But I think that's polite too. And also, I think it also hears better because I find the pass through audio sort of like, I find it, even on some high end devices, I find it really meh at best. I also will flat out say that, for example, I will not ride in the city or almost anywhere, period, with earbuds in. That the idea of, you know, it terrifies me not being able to hear the world around me. I don't even like snowboarding with earbuds in. So that may be one of my peculiarities, but the open ear devices to me are much more natural in the way that they actually, let you hear real sounds, not processed sounds coming through, you know, the DSP and the amplifiers inside your tiny little earbuds.
Well, on Thursday's show, we told you about OpenAI announcing a new text-to-video research project called Sora, only for now available to certain creators and security experts who are red-teaming it for safety vulnerabilities, basically trying to make it do bad things so that they can say, hey, company, fix this before the general public gets access. Sora uses a version of the diffusion model used by DALL-E in GPT-4, generates a video by starting off with one that is more or less just a bunch of static, transforms it to make a finished product, which is surprising and delighting many people out there and also terrifying others. It can reportedly produce up to 60-second video clips. People with access are having a real fun time sharing examples online. I'm having a fun time watching these examples with mostly incredible videos. Some examples, though, of it not working exactly perfectly. You know, you've got the same old, hey, people's hands look weird, or hey, those people, you know, walking down that path in Kyoto would have run into the fence eventually, but the video cut off. Little things like that. OpenAI researchers posted a Sora technical paper on Thursday evening titled Video Generation Models as World Simulators, noting that Sora can generate videos of an arbitrary resolution and aspect ratio up to 1080p, and perform a range of image and video editing tasks, looping videos, for example, changing the background in a video that already exists. Sora can also simulate digital worlds. This one's interesting. For example, a prompt containing the word Minecraft had Sora render a pretty convincing-looking Minecraft-like HUD in-game.
Yeah, I feel like these are very clearly going to have pretty close to the same evaluation as we've had of all these other tools like ChatGPT, which is very impressive when you first see them. Probably not as scary as some people are worried they will be. And then useful for specific things, like if you're a video game developer and you want to create a Minecraft-like world, this can speed that up. For you, for sure. There might be some editing. I could see some Descript-like stuff where Descript does for audio that this could do for video. Overall, the only thing I'm really disappointed about is the fact that OpenAI is releasing this and telling us about it, but keeping it the most restricted of any of its products that it has talked about publicly so far, which is the opposite direction that Google has been going with. OpenAI is making it more restricted every time they talk about something. Google is making their products more open every time they talk about something. Remember, Google had lots of stuff that they just didn't tell the public about for a long time or only put in academic settings, and now you're seeing Gemini 1.5 is available for enterprise widely, et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting to see OpenAI close up as Google starts to open up, and they're starting to meet in the middle now.
Is that part of a reaction to what happened with OpenAI being released and all the weird things
Google opened up for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw a bunch of these videos earlier today. A friend of mine sent them to me, and it was interesting watching people argue about how these look very similar to other videos and, you know, that the learning pool is very small. But the thing that kind of blew my mind was I was watching some of these and they're so realistic. And this actually perfect. If you're watching the video stream right now, I was laughing because the truck looks good and the background looks good, but the dirt coming off the tires is completely wrong. Having spent hundreds of hours following, you know, desert vehicles spraying dust like that. But the crocheted helmet that, you know, people watching on the video saw at the beginning of this segment looked fantastically real, along with the face of the yarn astronaut person, that was wearing it. And it is really odd what AI doesn't do well. The waves look pretty good crashing on the beach. The dust coming off the tires, not so much. And part of me is like, what is it with the fingers? Why are they so hard to render?
Yeah, there are other examples of, you know, somebody takes a bite out of a burger, but then the burger doesn't have the bite marks afterwards. You know, little kind of physics stuff that if you're not paying super close attention, maybe you could be fooled. And I think that's what scares everybody is we're going to be fooled. Well, okay, so there are several things that people are worried about. Creative
These
folks
things
say,
are awful, and also they're so good they'll fool all of us. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. It's like you've got the very warranted fear from people saying, oh gosh, this is my job. What's my job going to look like in another year? You know, this is all happening so fast. And then you got the folks saying like, yeah, we're going to, you know, there was a Bloomberg article that made the rounds today of, you know, we're in an election year. And, you know, when it starts to get to, you know, August, September, are we going to have some Sora generated videos that are going to fool people that that circulate online? I mean, the answer is yes, they will. And so it kind of turns into, this is awesome. It's amazing. And it's scary because we don't know what it's going to do yet. I mean, and by the way, like none of the videos that I've even seen are a full minute. But even if they are 60 seconds long, it's like, okay, where do they go? Where do they go to so that they fool me and terrify me. I don't know yet. I don't know how this is super bad. It's just that I think it works so well that people instinctively want to be afraid.
I don't know if Parmi Olsen is being paid by Google or not, but he should be, because what he's doing is saying, oh, OpenAI gave us no timeline on when they're going to release this to actual people, but I'm still worried, which is going to push OpenAI to keep things even more restricted, which is exactly what Google should want, is OpenAI to not release its stuff as widely as it used to, because that's how ChatGPT got so popular, is they just put it out there in the world. So it's interesting to watch all of that take place. Another thing that's interesting to watch, at least I hope for you, is Tom's Top 5 on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DailyTechNewsShow. I break down 5 things you need to know about technology. These are quick, 60 seconds, and I will tell you about the top 5 home computers that had a second chance at success as video game consoles. Top 5 home computers given a second life as video game consoles. Watch it right now at Daily Tech News Show on TikTok, DTNS Picks on Instagram, or youtube.com/DailyTechNewsShow.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Wired's Matt Burgess wrote up an article titled, "I Stopped Using Passwords. It's Great and a Total Mess." And it talks about him living with just passkeys. He tried to never use a password to access his accounts, just passkeys. Said they're more secure. They are quicker. But passkeys front-end implementation, still a work in progress. He gives a couple of examples. One is Bitwarden's web browser extension supports passkeys, but the mobile app doesn't. In another instance, Burgess had to update his operating system to one that supports passkeys, which stalled his PayPal passkey process. Burgess said that once you have a trusted device like a phone or a YubiKey or your browser as your passkey authenticator, you might just want to stick with that one. It can be easy to have passkeys in multiple locations, and that can add to your own confusion. It is one of the benefits, though, is you can have passkeys in multiple locations. Patrick, you've been using passkeys more. What's your experience been? And do you have any tips and recommendations on folks who are starting to use these?
Oh, my goodness. It's been, yeah, okay, let me flat out say, Captain, you know, it's a toss-up, right, whether on any given day Roger or I are more cynical. You know, and I will say, like, I started hearing about this about a year ago. The promise is glorious, right? There's the Google's words, passkeys are an easier and more secure alternative to passwords. They let you sign in with just your fingerprint, face scan, or screen lock. Now, these are Google's words, not mine. But the reality is it's actually, I mean, it is delightful and weird to see Apple and Google Microsoft and Apple, Amazon and Apple, 1Password and Dashlane and LastPass, all working to move us all to a land where people aren't 80 kinds of awful about securing their accounts, right? Like, you know, one of the stats that's been thrown up is 60% of all, you know, I'll call it cyber crime since I don't want to say hacking, you know, is related to phishing attacks and passwords and stealing passwords. You know, so the idea of making it easier to secure your passwords, easier to manage having good password hygiene is fantastic. And also, I'm still just delighted with Apple cooperating with Microsoft and the Google. It's because it's just so weird to see these organizations working together to make my life better or the life of the security professionals at your company better. You know, I started thinking about it as I started playing around with this stuff. To some degree, Burgess and everybody else dealing with this is having a classic tech evolution migration problem. Stuff sucks a lot until it sucks less, and then it sucks less. And then you haven't thought about you. Then you have a problem, and it's like, I haven't really had a problem with this in a year and a half, right? This is something we've been through with like every iteration of every new technology. Folks adapting passkeys in early 2023 were having much worse experiences than Burgess was now. Should you be moving to a passkey? That's kind of a big maybe, especially for a hip, hoopy audience that knows where the towels are, like the DTNS audience. If you have a good, you know, if you have good password hygiene and you use a password manager, passkeys are an alternative. They may be a more secure alternative, but you're already way ahead of the curve because you have good passwords and good password hygiene. And much like working, or I should say, moving from one password manager to a new one. The old one I'm thinking of shall remain nameless, lest Tom give me his disappointed face for calling someone out in a rude fashion. It's kind of a pain. I had to, because hundreds of passwords. It was funny because I was trying to figure out how many passwords I have, and I was scrolling through my password manager trying to count, and I got to like 100 and something before I got to the B's. I might be able to kill 20 or 30% of those because I no longer have that account because the website doesn't exist anymore. But if you've been doing this for a while, you may have a ridiculous number of passwords and maybe it's time to start getting rid of the old ones. But for the biggest things passkeys are trying to fix, you know, for all of these companies and for all of the companies, and it's a crazy list of companies that are working on this. People who share passwords across multiple accounts, people who never change their passwords, you know, these are the people who really should be considering moving to a passkey system. They are very resistant to phishing. They are not phishing proof, right? If you get a clever attack that kind of convinces you to type into a password instead of using your passkey, you're phished, right? You know, not to sound obvious, but don't do that. These, you know, nobody I've talked to in the serious security side of things has heard of either nobody's talking or nobody's heard of any remotely successful attempts to crack these systems. People are just starting to dig into them. But every security professional I've talked to is all for people doing a better job sucking less at passwords. And this really, the whole passkey system sounds way easier to manage than a traditional password manager for a lot of folks. So that's kind of where my head is at on this. I'm experimenting with it because this actually seems smart, and because I'm trying to get my kids to be, you know, more password forward, password friendly, password awesome. You know, and I'm also going to say this because I'm Captain Backup. Two is one, one is none, to abuse a phrase. Figure out your plan for if, you know, what happens if you drop your phone into the Mississippi or throw your security out in the garbage before you need it. You know, this is not like, you know, locking your Bitcoin wallet and then leaving it in a landfill. But it's one of those things where work out your plan or your concept before you're trapped in a corner trying to get the last plane. You know what I mean? Like just
it's do one your of the reasons you might want to keep passkeys on more than one device. Even though Burgess says it's easier to keep them on one device. Also, it's a reason why you might want to give a secure email when you sign up for a passkey, because that's a way to reset your passkey. Right. And if you opt not to give them that email, then you're not going to have that avenue of recovery. And as to phishing, I do want to make it clear to folks, passkeys are phishing proof. But if a system doesn't use only passkeys, you can still get phished. And that's what Patrick was pointing out. It's like, if you've still got a password as a backup, well, you can still get phished for that password until sites get rid of the password backup option altogether, which is probably not going to happen for a lot of them because that's the other way to do a backup.
There's all those people out there just using their passwords. You're going to lose
that passkey advantage. Yeah. But we have an episode of Know a Little More. If you search for Know a Little More about passkeys out there, it talks a little more about the details of how this all works if you have questions about it. But, you know, the short version is, these are stored on your device, not in the cloud, so they can't be breached. And you don't have to remember what they are, but you also don't have to remember a master password for a password manager. So they are more secure than passwords in those two ways specifically. All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Norm weighed in on a conversation we had with Justin Robert Young yesterday about social networks hurting kids. This was in response to New York City going after some of the social networks saying, you're hurting kids. Norm said, I just don't understand the problem. Keep your kids off the phones and tablets. Parent, put limits on their time on social media. Find out what they're doing. I regularly check out what my kids' history is to update things. Now, Norm was not the only person who wrote in. In fact, we got some real nice emails from some of you, and thank you for those, saying, great conversation. I think this just hits a nerve for a lot of people, especially parents, trying to figure out how we navigate this world. Norm might be oversimplifying the issues, depending on your household, but yeah. I think it's certainly a good place to start.
Yeah. No, we had a lot of people who were very complimentary about Good Day Internet yesterday, leaving comments on our Patreon and really, really enjoyed that extended conversation. So thanks to everybody for writing in on that. Patrick, do you side with Norm on this as a father?
I did not hear the conversation yesterday, but I'm very embarrassed to admit that in front of everyone.
It's all right.
No, it's funny, right? All of the computers in the house are in an open space so that we can kind of keep tabs on what the kids are doing on their computers. And, of course, I can do super tech dad stuff and keep an eye on what's going over their machines. I also find that keeping kids off the phones and tablets gets harder and harder as they get older and older, and phones become a normal tool for communications with their friends. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know how old Justin Robert Young's kids are.
He doesn't have kids. Rob Dunwood, co-host yesterday, does teenage and a little bit older. But the conversation we were having and we didn't all have one single point, you know, to give to anybody. It was more of a, your mileage may vary. And, if somebody's TikTok for you feed has a bunch of videos that end up making the kid feel like garbage, well, that's just not good. So,
yeah, I mean, short notice, like, do social network hurt kids? Absolutely. Am I grateful that my kids basically participate on no social networks and have no interest in them? And my teenager is aggressively against them. I am very thankful for that. Have I witnessed, the emotional destruction of children through social media? Secondhand from friends. Which is,
never underestimate the power of a generation to have backlash against the generation in front of it to change attitudes and behaviors. Let's talk to my generation, Len Peralta. Len has been illustrating today's show. Fellow Gen Xer, what have you drawn for us today?
This week we just celebrated Fat Tuesday. I don't know if anybody has celebrated Fat Tuesday, but I don't know what the big deal about passkeys are. I am a big I think they're delicious, these passkeys.
I think you may be mishearing. We were talking about pass key. Encrypted token on your computer.
That makes total sense. I was like, that makes no sense when you're talking about the Polish donut that people usually eat on Fat Thursday.
That's spelled exactly. Different.
I was so confused. I was there's a new Polish treat I don't know about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I did enjoy some
passkeys. I wouldn't try to log in securely with a Polish passkey.
It's gonna get into the keyboard.
It's gonna be messy, especially in a custom film.
It's a great idea in theory, but
get it. Yeah. If you want to, If you want to take a look at this, or if you want to get it, you can just go to my Patreon, patreon.com/Len, where you can back me at the DTNS lover level, and it is yours to have. Or you can go the old-fashioned way, go to my online store at lenperaltastore.com, and maybe even, ask me to draw something for you. I could use some commission. So there you go.
Patrick Norton, always a pleasure. Let folks know where they can keep up with your latest work.
I'm starting to expand beyond the Twitter, but that's a good place to start, at Patrick Norton, or head over to avxl.com or search for AVXL on your favorite podcatcher.
Patrons, stick around for the extended show, Good Day Internet. It's Friday, and Roger Chang has created another quiz in honor of Patrick Norton and his love for long, butt-numbing road trips. We've assembled a quiz that will test his and your knowledge of popular automotive technology. Stick around, please.
Everyone, you can catch the show live when we do it live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC, and you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We are off Monday for the U.S. President's Day holiday, but back Tuesday, talking about the iPad Pro versus iPad Mini with Lamar Wilson joining us. Talk to you then.
This week's episodes of Daily Tech News Show were created by the following people: host, producer, and writer Tom Merritt, host, producer, and writer Sarah Lane, executive producer and booker Roger Chang, producer, writer, and co-host Rob Dunwood, video producer and Twitch producer Joe Kuntz, technical producer Anthony Lemos, Spanish language host, writer, and producer Dan Campos, science correspondent Dr. Nikki Ackermans, social media producer and moderator Zoe Detterding, our mods Beatmaster, W. Scottus 1, BioCow, Captain Kipper, Steve Guadarrama, Paul Reese, Matthew J. Stevens, a.k.a. Gadget Virtuoso, and J.D. Galloway. Mod and video hosting by Dan Christensen. Music and art provided by Martin Bell, Dan Luters, Mustafa A., Acast, and Len Peralta. Live art performed by Len Peralta. Acast ad support from Tatiana Matias. Patreon support from Tom McNeil. Contributors for this week's shows included Shannon Morse, Scott Johnson, Justin Robert Young, Chris Christensen, and Patrick Norton. And thanks to all our patrons who make the show possible.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact: you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.